You're listening to A Light at the Other Side, where we're sharing stories of resilience, healing, and hope. We share the experiences of adoptees, domestic violence survivors, military veterans, and more, so some episodes may contain potentially triggering accounts of trauma. To fully appreciate the light, we must sometimes peer into the dark. On this episode, we're going to discuss some of my journey, my personal journey to healing, to life beyond crippling depression, abuse, anxiety. And I'm hoping to inspire others that they can take that journey as well. The journey back to me. There's no one-size-fits-all road to healing, but here's part of mine. I stood under a rock overhang to catch my breath. The altitude at Red Rocks was higher than I'd probably ever hiked before, and although the hike is not strenuous, I was struggling. I was feeling slightly embarrassed when I saw a very fit younger man stop in the shade under an adjacent overhang and lean over, his hands on his knees, and suck in breath. His companion, clearly a local, looked sympathetic, glanced over at me, and called out, "You're not in terrible shape. It's the altitude." I smiled, relieved it wasn't entirely my state of physical conditioning, but rather the environment, foiling my attempts at a long, robust hike. An eerily familiar feeling, a sort of sheepish relief, ran through me when TikTok shot into every household during the pandemic, and suddenly there were thousands of videos shouting out, "You're not in terrible shape. It's the world we live in." The very idea that everyone had issues finally gave me the courage to face mine. Postpartum depression was first. As my impossibly beautiful baby grew chunkier and prettier by the day, I was breaking down. Some days I would lay on the couch, watching her play sideways in my field of vision. She could entertain herself for long periods, moving a stack of books one by one across the room and then back again. Sometimes it would be hours. If her diaper looked saggy or smelled, I changed her, I fed her, but in between, I was watching her from the couch. Something in me had just fundamentally broken down. After having three other children and being a single mom for years, the impossible gear inside me that kept going like the Energizer Bunny had finally ground to a halt. And then coronavirus hit. Death was everywhere. It was palpable. A local restaurateur, a younger guy, died of COVID. A friend's cousin, an old mentor's husband. The list grew by the week. We had an infant and my 70-year-old father-in-law living in our home. We sanitized and washed and masked and vaccinated. We stayed home. We didn't go mingle in public if at all avoidable. The website with the COVID death counter was a perpetually open tab in my browser. I watched videos and live streams from other nations where residents lit candles in their windows, opened the windows at the same time, and sang, just something to connect with one another and share this universal sorrow and anxiety. Our neighborhood had window displays where kids would design shapes, signs, and pictures and tape them facing out in the front windows, so when you walked the neighborhood, you saw all the bright pictures, smiley faces, and words of encouragement. Over the months, those drawings faded and eventually disappeared. Everything slid into gray. We were all confused, exhausted, and sad. So sad. Then this app, one that kids had been using, experienced a shift in their content. In 2020, therapists began making videos in earnest, and we were all sad. Therapy for the masses seemed to be a good thing, right? I followed a few therapists, and a lot of what they discussed felt really relatable, and more to the point, it seemed that going to a therapist and getting help for mental health was actually normal. It was okay. In fact, more than being okay, it actually became trendy. I went to my doctor. I was honest, finally, and I began taking Wellbutrin. I began journaling. I began walking. and within the safe space of a healthy relationship and the appropriate tools in place, I opened the door, the one that had been sealed up for a quarter of a century, and I said, okay, here we go. The first revelation I had was that my voice was my own, and I could talk about what happened to me. Decades of the weight of shame and holding other people's dirty secrets were lifted. I had been abused. I talked about it. People were shocked and some angry, but not at my abusers, at me for airing dirty laundry. But those people were the minority. The vast majority of my friends were incredibly supportive and receptive. Further, a devastating amount of them reached out to me to let me know that they too had experienced similar abuse. My heart broke a little. These people were former classmates and friends, and for years we had played these roles side by side, pretending and masking in public and going to our separate homes to experience similar hell every night. And the weight of the shame kept our mouths closed for decades. My resolve steeled at that point, and in my rebellious spirit, I decided to yell my truth from the rooftops to let others know so they could lay down their shame. But all that came out was toxic spiritual nonsense as I still danced around the specifics of my abuse. I now recognize it came from a place of anger, such immense anger. Like turning the valve on an Instapot, there was a pent-up rage that needed to spew for a minute, shooting searing hot air on anyone who came too close. I did some pretty irreparable damage to my relationships with some people close to me, as in my earnest desire to prevent them from going through similar hurt, I interjected my opinion and words in situations where they were neither requested nor wanted. I learned to stay in my lane. I learned to discern between toxic spirituality and actual guidance from mental health professionals. I learned that I was not going to fix myself by fixing others. So I blocked who I needed to, kept my distance from others, and turned my focus completely inwards. In the midst of all that, I got a tattoo, safely at home, at my kitchen table, of a unalome. A symbol used in both Buddhism and Hinduism, it represents the path to enlightenment, or simply the path of life. The lotus begins in the mud, likewise from slippery dark nothingness we come, and we blossom into life. And then we navigate twists and turns throughout life until we've learned the lessons we need to learn and life starts to straighten itself out. There I was at my family's dinner table, etching a permanent symbol that is decidedly non-Christian into my skin. My evangelical upbringing recoiled in horror. I was starting to break free. Every time I was tempted to overreach, the tattoo would remind me that my own life was enough to manage. It took a while to learn this lesson. I also turned back to an old friend, writing. Journaling proved to be one of my biggest sources of relief as I could flip back a few months and see growth already. It was tangible and measurable in a way. I followed guided journals, gratitude journals, and meditation journals, and the deeper I allowed my thoughts to travel into my mind, I found that I was truly in a battle for my life. Suicidal ideations had arisen during the depths of my depression in the early days of the COVID lockdowns, but I certainly wasn't done with that dance with the devil. A few more times over those couple of years, I found myself staring into that black void and feeling its pull. Opening those doors deep within necessitated that I address my inner child and allowed her to escape. Opening those doors deep within necessitated that I address my inner child and allow her to escape. When I was growing up, when we visited my granddaddy's cabin in the mountains of western North Carolina, we would throw open all the windows and doors upon arriving to air it out. Get all the musty, stale air out and rush in that cool, fresh mountain breeze. Likewise, I had to open doors to memories that had been shut up for ages and actually address the darkness inside. It was painful. There's no way around that. But so is getting stitches or a wound cleaned. It just has to be done. And the subsequent pain is less and less until healing has finished. Only this kind of healing is rarely ever finished. There is rarely a happily ever after, but I think I've come pretty damn close. I am married to the love of my life, my twin flame, my best friend. We have together 6 healthy kids. 6 healthy. With a winning lottery ticket of life, I found my biological mother after 20 years to the month of searching. She lives with me now, and we eat dinner together every night. It's surreal. It's amazing. I changed the way I parent, the way I view raising children altogether, through this deconstruction and reconstruction of self, and I believe I have better relationships with all of my children as a result. Instead of having to be the strict authoritarian with rigid rules, I could bend and adjust my parenting to match each of my kids' needs. This has enabled me to meet each of my children anew, to get to know them more authentically as their true personalities emerge, and I deeply admire each of them in their unique ways. We are pretty comfortable. We can't afford luxurious Disney vacations, but we don't want for anything. We've got enough room for everyone to sleep and some of their guests and a fridge and pantry full of food. We're living the dream, honestly, due in part to my determination, because I walked through fire to burn off that old shell, the tired mask, and to get myself well to be the best mom, stepmom, wife, and daughter that I could be. I'm not perfect. I am real. I am flawed but not broken. I am human but divinely so. I have been forged by this fire. I don't hold arrogance, but I do demand respect. And now I share my writing with the world. I share my voice with the airwaves. I tell my story to light the way for others to tell theirs. My journey was hard, but it wasn't impossible. And it was worth every single step. One of the primary reasons I started my entire project, The Light at the Other Side, was to tell people my story, that I came from an abusive childhood, a difficult young adulthood with homelessness, domestic violence, and I have found my way to a life of peace, happiness, contentment, and fulfillment. I am by no means wealthy. I am by no means at a point in my life where I don't have any struggles emotionally, physically, financially, whatever. And yet I am deeply content and happy. I know that many people find this sense of contentment and happiness in religion and spiritual practice. That wasn't really me. So I feel like there's a lot of people out here who are searching for happiness that aren't finding it sort of in those ways that we've traditionally been told that we can find peace and happiness. To me, the church was too political, too divisive, too judgmental, too rigid, too controlled. And I wasn't finding any sense of satisfaction or contentment within that environment. And once I left it, it was difficult. It took a little bit of floundering to get my feet under me and to determine what is it that I believe about life and what is it that I can discard, that I don't believe. A lot of theology was discarded. But what I kept was basic tenets, I think, of being a good human. Being good to others ensures that you don't have negative karma or negative associations with your behavior. If you behave in the best way possible in every situation, regardless of what some theology says or what some pastor told you to do or priest or whatever clergy, if you genuinely act from your heart in what you know to be the best and good, I have found in my life, this has served me much, much better than living life based off some 2,000-year-old theology. Now, I understand that's not the way for everyone, and I respect that. If you have found peace and contentment within your chosen religious practice, that's wonderful. But there has to be a path and space for people who don't exactly follow that. Or maybe they do follow a particular religious practice, but it still doesn't bring them the holistic contentment and happiness and peace in their own life that they've been searching for. I like to say I've sort of washed up on the shores of Buddhism. I don't walk around saying I'm Buddhist necessarily, but a lot of the tenets of Buddhism made sense to me in a very common sense way, in a very practical, realistic way. One of those is the Eight Noble Truths. When you examine the Eight Noble Truths, it differs greatly from, say, the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments are a list of thou shalt nots, things you shouldn't do, whereas the Eight Noble Truths provide more of a list of what you can do, areas in your life that you can examine and see if you're doing the greatest holistic good for yourself, your community, your family, the space that you inhabit. And I found that for me personally to be a much more helpful tool and guideline to use in my life to rebuild a life after a lot of trauma, a lot of darkness, a lot of being manipulated and used by other people, and learning to stand up for myself without becoming cruel, mean, cold, selfish, self-centered. I never wanted to become those things, but there's a space in between being too open-hearted and easily manipulated and a doormat and becoming cold and selfish and self-centered. There's plenty of space in between to have appropriate and healthy boundaries for yourself, to be able to vocalize and express boundaries and expectations that you expect within your life, and eliminating anyone or anything that doesn't align with your personal values, with your boundaries, with how you expect to be respected in life. And in that space is where I have found tremendous healing and strength to go on. My hope with this project is to begin a community. I have lots of people who respond in the comments of my Medium pieces. I've collected thousands of comments of people who read my pieces, like the ones that I just read, and they say, wow, that resonates. I'm still looking for that. I'm still looking for that peace. I'm still looking for that happiness. I'm still looking to heal from what I've gone through. I've had people in my comments that are in their 70s that went through childhood trauma and still have not found healing from that. Now, I'm no mental health professional. I've only shared what's worked for me in my life, and what's worked has been working with a lot of mental health professionals. I've been through 7 therapists in my adult life, and each one of them has taught me valuable tools and given me valuable tools to continue in my healing journey once my time with them was complete. I've started a Facebook group for the listeners of this podcast. If you go on Facebook and you just look up the Light at the Other Side podcast, then you'll find not only my Facebook page, but a group that I've started. I am so serious about starting a community from this. As much as I enjoy reading my stories week after week and having conversation about those stories, I really want to share other people's stories of triumph after tragedy so that there is a sense of community and a sense of awareness that we are all impacted by darkness, and yet there is always a way to find the light. We have to support one another. I know for a fact that I'm not the only person out there who's been through horrible things and is now living a much healthier, happier life. I know I'm not alone. I know there are others of you out there. And while you may not be ready to share the darkest aspects of your story, I do hope that you'll begin to join our community and encourage others who are much earlier on in their healing journey, who may still be wading through a really dark time in their life. I want to reach those people. We're seeing inordinate amounts of suicide, particularly among middle-aged men. And I want to reach those people. I want to reach every person who feels like they may just be at the end of their rope and throw them a lifeline and be a friend and be an encouragement and be a way that they can see the light at the end of their tunnel. So you can always join the Facebook group. I highly encourage you to get on Facebook, find the group, The Light at the Other Side podcast. Just search for it. You can also hop on my website, melissacorrigan.com. That's MelissaCorrigan.com. And that has links to all the resources that you could, the link to my guided journal, the link to the Facebook group will be there. And I'm hoping that we can form a community. So it's not just me, but others sharing their stories and coming alongside one another for support, for camaraderie, to share stories, to laugh together. That is my overall mission, and you guys are going to have to help me build that. I certainly can't build a community alone. I hope you'll check out the resources I've mentioned, and I hope that you'll be back next week for our next episode.